And our Father, we receive the word from you today. Thank you for the unction to preach, to teach, and to receive your word. Thank you, Father, because our hearts are enlightened by your Spirit to receive your word. Thank you because our understanding is refreshed by the understanding we receive from your word. Lord, today we step into new thresholds of faith, new dimensions of your word, and fresh directions from your Spirit. Your word comes alive to our minds today. Beyond letters, beyond written statements, your word is light to us. We receive it as the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 11, we're looking at faith, and particularly looking at the depth of the teaching of this subject in the body of Christ. But beyond that, there is an urgency to present to us the message of faith in the word, to the intent that a Christian begins to walk by faith and live by faith. A lot of people don't know what faith is. It's sad. So that's what we're doing in this series. We want to present what faith is and how to walk and live by faith. In Mark 11, I'm going to read to us verse 22. Let's get the story. The story was that Jesus, in verse 12, on the morrow, when he was come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if perhaps as aptly, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, that's unto the tree. Please take note of that. He spoke to the tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now we'll skip verse 15 and then we'll come to verse 19. Because verse 15 to 19 do not have any significance to what we're saying. That is, he went into Jerusalem and went to the temple and cast out those who were sent in the temple and so on and so forth. That had no reference at all to the tree. Now, in verse 19, when the evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, that is a day after, he spoke to the tree, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. They saw the same fig tree that Jesus spoke to dry up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. So Peter actually pointed Jesus to the fact that the tree that he cursed the day before had actually withered away. Now, when he said that, you know, Jesus now turned to him and said something that we're going to, you know, draw this series from. He said, have faith in God. The King James says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, Jesus simply answered Peter that I cursed the fig tree, or better still, I spoke to the fig tree, and it withered from its roots by faith. That's all. That answers Peter's question. I said, why did it dry up? He said, have faith in God. Now, that have faith in God is where we will do some study in today. Because if I turn to someone and I tell him to have faith in God, that means I have separated God from that faith. I'm simply saying, you produce a faith that can rest in God. Now, I won't go further on that. I will look at it, because what I want to do in these early stages is to lay a strong doctrinal foundation for you on the subject of faith. I have taught faith for as long as I've been preaching the word. I've taught faith almost all my life. I mean, I've taught many, many messages on faith. I've taught faith for 1 year. I've taught faith for 18 months. So, and as we keep growing in the word of God, one receives new light. You know, new light, not just on the subject of faith, even on how the subject of faith can be communicated and communicated to us. Now, looking at that, you know, brief statement, and, you know, one will tend to look at it because there are two schools of thought. For instance, the King James says, have faith in God, and some other versions will put it like that, and they will say, have faith in God. And other ones will say, have trust in God. Now, some will just say, believe in God. In other words, they are saying, this is God, this is you. Now, when I believe in God, then God, the way it appears is like, when I believe in God, God will handle the mountain, because that will be the only reason why I will first have to believe in God when I have a mountain that is before me. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. They put two characters there, three characters, God, and then the mountain. I will see why that may not exactly be what Jesus said. It's good to have faith in God, as people say. To have faith in God, you know, believe in God, and so on and so forth. But you see, the word of God, or the Bible, must be taught from just one point. There is just one talking point of the entire scriptures. The minute you fail to interpret scriptures in this way, now there is a theological interpretation of scripture, an academic, a scholastic interpretation. Oftentimes people think that by the time you get the Greek tenses and the Hebrew tenses right, you will get the word right. And I tell people oftentimes, Greek and Hebrew are seeming language platforms. And in every language, there will be different shades of meaning to one thing. There will be different tenses. There will be different expressions, even of tenses, and verbs, and adverbs, and so on and so forth. So, if one relies on Greek and Hebrew on a study, it is almost concluded that you will miss the point. Because the Bible was not written in Greek or written by Greeks and Hebrews. The Bible was not written in Greek and Hebrew. The Bible was written in Christ Jesus and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, we must not resort to carnal methods, as much as it is good to, you know, do the possible, as I teach you often. But then when it comes to revelation of the word, that does not come by Greek and Hebrew study. That comes by the Spirit of God. And may I say this? I was thinking when Pastor Larry was saying something during the workers' meeting 2 days ago, and, you know, something flashed across my thought. And I remember I preached years ago, but I did not elaborate on what I'm going to say now. And I said, the truth of the matter is this. You know, your inheritance in Christ as a believer, you know, you say, I'm in Christ Jesus. I inherited in Christ. Your inheritance in Christ includes ministry gifts. That is, if you are not appropriating ministry gifts, you are simply not walking in your inheritance. He gave gifts as men to the church. That's inheritance. All things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul, Peter, or Apollos, they are yours. He set some in the church. That's an inheritance. So a minister of the gospel is yours. The same way you will not walk in your inheritance, you may choose not to receive. And that will stand against you. Or not will work against you. I was telling somebody, he said, you know, he said the place of knowing God for yourself, that's what he said, should not take the place of going to church. I said, let me tell you this. He said, go and read your Bible, the epistles. There's nowhere you are told to know God for yourself. There's nowhere you are told to begin to find God or study, you know, to know the word of God. I said, that's not found. No, it's never said to anybody. I said, what we are told to do is to receive the word of God. So, whether you are reading it, or you are listening to it, the most important thing is your attitude. You understand? The most important thing is your attitude. So, ministry is part, ministry gifts, the office of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are all part of the inheritance you have in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave them to you. Is that okay? Aha. So, it is now left for you, you know, to appropriate the inheritance you have in Christ Jesus. Now, like I said, we must, at all points, know that all of Jesus' statements must be interpreted in the light of Christ Jesus. All of Jesus' statements that were made in the epistles. For instance, when Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he went further after Nicodemus came to say, what are you talking about? Can a man be born a second time? Enter his mother's womb. Verse 4. Verse 5, now says, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And I told you before, when he said of the water and the spirit, he was not including two elements. He was simply saying, except a man be born of the water, that is the spirit, he uses the word ek, he shall not enter into the kingdom. And we have seen it. The water there does not refer, as we think, to the word. Rather, it refers to the process of sanctification, purification, and newness that water stands for in the Bible. And he's telling you that will be by the Spirit. Because what he said afterwards was that, so it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. That was consistent in his statement. And as we go into the epistles, we're able to interpret it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. By the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And, you know, we're able to understand what being born again means. When you look into the epistles, and you discover that we are actually children by the death of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Then we're probably going to interpret what it means to call something the new birth. So, all of Jesus' statements are subject to interpretation in Christ Jesus. And how, what do we mean by in Christ Jesus? Because Jesus himself refrained a revelation of himself. In Matthew 16, he said, tell no man this. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, tell no man this until I'm ascended to my Father. And the only way the world will know who he is by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit brought the revelation of Jesus to the world by convincing the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So when we go into the epistles, we now discover who Jesus is. If you read the four Gospels, you will never know why he came. You will never know why he died. You will never know why he came as a man. You will never know why he was tempted. You will never know anything in the four Gospels. But by the time you enter the epistles, you will see that he was tempted at all points, and as you are yes, last thing, to prove that he was human. You will see also that he was made subject to the law of death, to the laws of death, and to the laws of creation, so that he will prove his humanity, Philippians 2 and 6. You will see his divinity also being taught and being proven, you know, in the epistles. That's where you will see all his statements, and they are properly explained by the Spirit of God. So, it's when we go into the epistles that this kind of statement, have faith in God, or you say to this mountain, you know, it now makes clear clarity to our mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said to Timothy, thou art known the Holy Scriptures, verse 15, from a child, which were able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Of course, at the point when he was referring to, that was known the scriptures from your youth or from a child, he was not talking about this particular epistle. No, he wasn't talking about the book of Romans or the book of Ephesians. He was referring to the Old Testament materials that we have from Genesis to Malachi. He said, this can make you wise when it is studied in the light of salvation through faith that is in Christ. And then they will make you wise. That is when they are profitable for teaching. So they are profitable for teaching when they are taught in the light of salvation through faith that is in Christ. They are profitable for reproof, that same way. They are profitable for instruction and for correction. So the profitability of the scriptures is when they are translated or interpreted, in the light of faith that is in Christ. So that statement we just read now must be seen, like we say, from a Christocentric point of view. A Christ-centered, a Christ-glorified, a Christ-revealing point of view. So we will be relying so much on the epistles to seek clearly the words of Jesus. We'll be relying on the epistles. And then, like I said, from a Christocentric point of view. Now, get back to Mark 11 and 23. Mark 11 and 23. Oftentimes what we're sharing here is the missing link in many faith sermons. It's always the missing link. In Mark 11, 23, Jesus in 22, he said, have the faith of God. Or have faith in God. Sorry, I was a bit fast there. He said, have faith in God in the King James. But you know the point is that the next thing he says does not agree with that tense. He said, if you shall say. He didn't say if you trust God to say. If you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall trust that God will not doubt in his heart. No. Shall not doubt in your heart. That whatsoever you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. Obviously, Jesus was referring to the walk of faith. Because many versions will let us see that Jesus actually introduced something there before that, have faith in God. Or have the faith of God, as I'm going to show you. He said, if you have. Obviously, that was the seeming inadequacy of his audience. Look at Matthew 21. The same story rendered by Matthew. Matthew seems to have something that Mark did not add. Though some older versions let us see that it was there. But just to see, when you have those four accounts, it's to have a clear picture of four people taking account of what they heard. One person may miss out something. And in fact, usually when we are listening, when we are listening to certain things, depending on your mindset, you are particular about something. I know it's particular about another thing. But when we have, the four, give us an account, just like the parable of the sower, by the time you read the four accounts, you think that, one of them just wanted to hear the other thing. And obviously, they all heard it, but they gave us, by the time you read the four accounts, they give us a fuller picture. The same thing happened here. Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, if you have faith, that's what Jesus said, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Can you see that now? So when he said, if you have faith, obviously, the audience he was referring to did not have it. If you have faith. Notice in Matthew 21, the writer did not include faith in God. So we have two accounts. One says, have faith in God. One says, if you have faith. Now, I've shown you that what Jesus said here was the work of faith. What faith does. He doesn't tell you how faith comes. He just says, what faith does. You will say to this mountain, be thou removed. In fact, the way Matthew puts it is that he clarifies it. That you will not only do what I did to the fig tree, you will also say to the mountain. So generally, he's talking about the work of faith. How faith works. The work of faith. But before we look at how faith works, because oftentimes if you know how something works, without knowing why it works, and without knowing what it is, you'll be lost. In the parable of the sower, the very first seed that was cast into the ground are cast by the wayside. The reason why it was by the wayside, Mark tells us, Matthew also and Luke, they tell us that one was cast by the wayside and Satan came and took away the one that was cast by the wayside. And there was a particular emphasis that it was so because the person did not understand it. Now, that means he was in the church. That means he bought the tape. In fact, some people preach things they don't even understand. So, that means he even preached it. But Satan took away that which was sown because he did not understand it. So, understanding is key. What did I say? And when we come like this to hear the word of God, an understanding is given to you. An understanding. Understanding in terms of light is given to you. And understand it not. So there must be a thorough understanding of the statement that Jesus has just made. Now, please follow me now. Believe you have been doing that. So he said faith. Matthew just said, have faith. If you have faith, you will not only speak to the fig tree to dry up, you will also, because if you read Mark's account, you wonder, where did mountain come into the picture? Because mountain did not exist at all in the statement, in the story. So Matthew clarifies that for us. Do you understand that now? Good. So you can see that Matthew captured something that Mark did not capture. Mark also captured it in a way that Mark did not capture. By the time we read the two accounts, we'll get the exact words that Jesus said. Now having said that, he said, if you have faith. Mark said, have faith in God. But some versions actually render it differently. And besides just looking at the Greek, in just studying the word, we will discover that those versions were right. They say, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. I have some versions that I put it just like that. The modern King James of 1998 put it just like that. I wrote down some other translations that put it the way I've just said it. Give me a minute, please, so that you, in case, okay. The Young's Literal Translation puts it, have the faith of God, Mark 11:22. The Doha Rhemes Bible, Douay-Rhemes Bible, puts it, have the faith of God. The Worrell New Testament, Worrell New Testament, puts it like that, have the faith of God. The Bible in Basic English also translated the same way. The Jewish New Testament put it the same way. Now, assuming these are modern translations as it were, there was a translation that preceded the King James. The Geneva 1599 version says, have the faith of God. Now, sometimes you wonder, what's the difference? Well, there's a whole lot of difference. When I ask you to have faith in God, I'm asking you to release trust into God. I'm asking you to do something towards God. That when you do it towards God, the mountain will be moved. I'm actually tracing the source of faith to you. Let me see how you understand that. Let me see how, please communicate with me. I want you to communicate. Do you understand what I just said now? But when I say, if you have the faith of God, I'm saying two things. Is that I'm telling you that the faith that God has, or I'm saying the faith that God gives. If you have the faith of God, that means I am tracing the source of faith to you. Now, I'm not going to go further than that. We'll see it in this today. So, And the reason why it is straightforward to see it in this light is because of the statement after. He never mentions God doing anything when he refers to the man who has faith. Let me see if you get that. Do you understand that? If I say, have faith, in Shem. If you have faith in Shem, Shem will give you a house. That means I'm just saying, have faith. You trust in Shem's ability. Are you there? To give you a house. But if I say, have faith in Shem, if you have faith in Shem, you will be able to. That shows me that having faith in Shem releases an ability to me. Because now, I'm not saying Shem will do something, I'm saying I will now be able to do something. So the two statements are not exactly at cross purposes. It's only that having faith in God is an incomplete statement. It doesn't give the true picture of what Jesus did and said. He said, have faith in God. You shall say unto the mountain. It will better rendered, have the faith of God, or if you have the faith of God, you will be able to say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He, who is he? The man who has the faith of God will have whatsoever that he says. Because the description in verse 23 was not about God, it was about the faith of God. What the faith of God can do. Let me see if you get that. You understand that? Very fine. Now, let's leave that a minute. Like I said earlier, we will look at faith in the epistles and come back again to the Gospels to see that the Bible is actually read together. You don't read it separately. You don't read it differently. You don't read it, you know, it's so dangerous reading commentaries. When I was going through one of these versions earlier this morning, I just saw a commentary. And when I saw that commentary, I began to laugh. I laughed so much because I don't know what the commentary said, but it just shows how, you know, how dangerous it is sometimes to rely on some things you read. You get my point? And I laugh, because, again, like many people do in their scholastic approach, they begin to segregate things from much of a language and technical point of view. And when you do that, you will lose the substance and essence of scriptures. It's not seen like that. Having said that, we look through the epistles, and we see that the subject of faith seemed to be spoken of differently. It seems to be spoken of in a different light. But no, it was not spoken in a different light. It was spoken rather in greater light. Now, go to Hebrews 11, where we'll start our study for today. We'll now come back, you know, to Mark 11. Don't forget, I told you, put beside Mark 11:23 the walk of faith. It was not talking about faith there. It was talking about the walk of faith. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, the funny part is that many times when people teach this subject of faith, everybody, most people that I know, love to quote Hebrews 11:1, then Hebrews 11:2, then Hebrews 11:3 does it. And usually, as sincere and as pure as a faith message is, when it is done like that, it presents in a very bad light. Because the essence of Hebrews 11:1, by the time you do not do your study well, you will lose it. Hebrews 11:1 was never again defining faith. It was not. Hebrews 11:1 was never defining faith. Hebrews 11:1. Let's read it together. Want to go? Hebrews 11:1. Again, everybody. How many of you have the word now yanked off your own version? Because the word now is not there. You understand? But it doesn't hurt to say now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I want you to back up a little bit to chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, when he said the just shall live by faith, the word live in the Bible has two different shades. There is live. I live. When you say, I'm living in Iyanopaja, that means that you are conducting your accommodation. Iyanopaja. When you say, I am living large, you are saying the way I am behaving myself is in such a way that I'm a big man. When you say, you are living a dangerous life, that's the way you are conducting yourself. So oftentimes when we read this particular version, this particular portion of scripture, just like it was quoted from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, it's in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and also quoted, you know, here, the just shall live by faith. We have this feeling that there is this just man, right? The way he was going to conduct his life, he is going to have to conduct his life by faith. Well, that is okay, because it is true, the Christian life is by faith and all that. But you see, oftentimes, it takes away the exact meaning of those words. When the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it's simply saying that the righteousness of a man is only declared by faith. He is made righteous by faith. The word live means to live. It is referring to what was dead is now alive by faith. Let me see if you understand that. So when I say the just shall live, it means the just shall be. To live, to be. The just shall be by faith. The just shall be seen. The just shall be the just. The just shall be a man shall be called righteous by faith. In fact, if you read Habakkuk 2, which is going to come in a moment, Habakkuk 2 4 actually says, the just shall live by his faith. That's what he says. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. First of all to the Jew and then to the Greek. It says, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So it's telling you actually that the gospel unveils faith to you. So it says the just shall live by faith. In other words, the just is such or is just or a man is declared justified in the gospel of Christ. Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the exact meaning. That is, we are justified by faith. Please follow. The just shall live by faith. If any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Watch that. Every time a man uses we, he's not talking about himself. When you say we, all, is an identification principle. We, who are the we that are born of God, who are the we, the saints of God, we are not of them who draw back, referring to Israel, unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Again, he's telling you, we, who are the we who have been declared righteous by faith, we are not of them that draw back, but those that believe to the saving of the soul. So again, we have seen the work of faith. The work of faith makes a man believe. Now, he now says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, faith, this faith we are talking about, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, write it out. Faith is a substance. Faith is an evidence. Faith is a substance. Faith is the evidence. Faith is a substance. Faith is the evidence. The word evidence there also means conviction. It also means to believe for something that is not seen. So he's referring again, I told you, to the work of faith. For by it, and let me pause and say this, the honest truth is this, oftentimes, even teaching, people who teach, do not separate faith and the work of faith. And when you don't do that, you will never know when, for instance, you are in faith. Because you cannot separate the work of faith and faith itself. Now, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Please follow this now. For by it, the elders. Now, without much ado, this material was written to who? So when they said the elders, those who are respected in Israel, among the Jews, they obtained a good report. The Jews respect their elders, those who had gone, their forefathers, their progenitors. The elders there refer to their fathers of the Jews. It's going to come to the conclusion in a moment. They obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good report. It's not referring to a congregation of people, it's referring to a kind of people in Israel who were distinguished throughout the ages in Israel. And he says it was by faith, by the substance of things hoped for, by the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand. Hallelujah. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand. I love that statement. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, again, there's a mistake people make here when they say the worlds were framed by the word of God. And, you know, when you don't study very well, you say, well, what he's saying is that God created the world by faith. No. He said, through faith we understand. He didn't say through faith the worlds were created. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word there is rhema, by the things that God said. Now, when they say the worlds, there are two words for worlds. There is the world anion, which means the ages. There is cosmos. Cosmos referred to the inhabited earth. Inhabited earth. When I say the world, I mean, I can refer to two things. I can say the world. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. The world there refers to the things I can see. 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 I'm referring to the mountains, the hills, the oceans. I'm referring to the creatures on the earth. That is the world. Now again, when I refer to the world, I can refer to a time. An age. I can refer to a way of behavior. I can refer to things that happened. So, in the original Greek, when it said the walls were framed, the word wall there is aneon, that is the ages. I think the Amplified put it exactly like that. It said the ages, the times were framed by the word of God. And it follows verse 2. The elders obtained a good report in their different times. Do you understand? And they're telling you that the reason why their times were framed like that is not from them. It is by the word of God. The things that God said in each dispensation framed each time and space. That's what he said. Now, the next statement flows from what I've just said. The walls. How many of you know very well, for instance, that Abraham and Jacob did not live together in the same time. You know that. Do you know also that Noah and Joseph did not live at the same time? You know that. Moses and Samson did not live at the same time. Do you know that very well? Good. So when he said the world, he was referring to the times, the worlds. He didn't say the world, the worlds. The times were framed, fitted together. That is, there was, if you look through, he's saying that when you read all the stories in the Bible, from Genesis down to Revelation, he said there's one thin line that binds all the stories together. He said it is the word that God spoke, and we understand that through faith. So that means that all the ages were put together in one breath of faith. All the ages, all the times we read in the scriptures were put together in one breath of faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word. So the next statement. So it's asking you to do something in your study to look out for faith from Genesis, maybe let's say to Malachi. You understand that now? So look out for faith. Look out for faith. That is, when you look at the ages, follow faith. When you look at the different times and different exploits, the different things, the different righteous things that you see, he said, follow faith. So that was why he gave the admonition earlier, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, verse 4. By faith. It says, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Please take note of that. He said, the things which were seen. Now, how many of you understand that all those who wrote the scriptures wrote about things which we can readily see? Is that okay? Noah's ark. Moses' rod. Isaac and his well. Joseph and Egypt, things which you are saying. But he's telling you that those things were not made from things which do appear. Because he just told you they were all by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me say that again. When you say the substance of things hoped for, when you talk about hope, hope means something that is ahead of you. Now, when you say substance, you are already bringing together like what an opposite. Because evidence and things not seen are opposites. Hope for and substance, the word hope for is the Greek word hypostasis. It is something that is solid. Something that is fixed. It's the same word used for a person. A person. So, if you say, this is the person of what is hoped for, this is the evidence of what you cannot see, you are bringing together a paradox. That is, when I say evidence, if I come to court and they say, where is your evidence? I say, you cannot see it. They say, get out of this place. That's why if you go to court and you go and say that somebody, you know, hit you with banter, and you say hit you with, you know, I remember somebody was telling me that what can you sue somebody who put majele into your food? I say, well, if you can take it to the lab and they can see majele there, or they can see oka, you know oka in Yoruba, they can see it, say no problem. You get my point? But if you cannot see that, the court will throw it out because they don't see an evidence. So when he said faith is the evidence of things not seen, he was telling you that faith is a spiritual element. Things not seen, things hoped for. Again, he locates faith as tangible. Faith is a substance, faith is an evidence. The things that we see were not made of things which do appear. So faith is tangible. What did I say? It's not an intangible substance. It is tangible, only that oftentimes it is not tangible to the senses, but the work of faith is tangible to the senses. So the things that were made by what? Made by faith, were not made by things which do appear. Are you following me? I have a long way to go. So make sure you are following. So he says, that was why the next statement flowed from there. Now, don't lose sight of Mark 11:23, because we are coming back there soon. Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, this is exactly what he was saying. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 4, would you see a mention of faith there? Huh? Oh, come on. Faith was not mentioned. In fact, if you read Genesis, I've forgotten, I had this record I put down in my study, to Malachi, faith is hardly mentioned. Yet, the Holy Spirit is telling you that the ages were framed by faith. The reason why you won't see faith is because faith is a substance of things hoped for, is an unseen evidence of things not seen. You cannot readily see it in their lives, that faith. It is the Holy Spirit who takes you through the scriptures to see faith throughout the ages. By faith, Abel, the story was very simple. Abel and his brother, they offered sacrifice to God. When you read that, you will have just said, yes. I mean, it was not his brother's fault. Ah, one person brought animal, the other one brought bure and vegetables, and you know, nice things. I said, why would God now just reject one? But the Bible is telling you here that Abel distinguished from Cain because Abel walked in faith. Now, if you read further again, in the book of John, John actually calls Cain the child of the wicked one, the devil, by his conduct. But besides that, you will see faith there, but that is why you must read the scriptures together. If you go further, when Cain was angry, God said, why is your countenance falling? If thou doest well, would you not have been accepted? That means he had the capacity to do exactly what Abel did. Let me see if you understand that. If you did well, would you not have been accepted? You say, Lord, in this story, I don't get. What is the problem? Hebrews 11 answers you. It says the ages were framed by what? The word of God. Obviously, God spoke to two of them. Abel acted in faith. In faith. In faith. He moved in faith. Cain walked by works. That was the problem. But you won't see faith there until you come to the epistles. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother, by which he obtained witness that he was what? That he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaks. Look at the next one. 5. By faith. That is, by the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't forget that. Things not seen. Things hoped for. Things not seen. Things hoped for. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith. By faith. and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith in that age. Faith in another age. By faith, Noah. So faith in the age of Cain and Abel was in the offering that they gave. Faith in the time of Noah, of Enoch, was in walking with God, in pleasing God. Faith in verse 7, in Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Faith is seen by the things that God said to them. What did God say to Noah? The ark. The ark was symbolic of God's revelation to Noah. So each dispensation had a revelation from God, which appeared different, but as we go further in scripture, we will see a semblance in the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1. Turn there quickly so that I'll bring some meaning to what I've said now. Hebrews 1:1, run there. Are you there? Let's read it together. Want to go? Take it again. Once again. Stop there. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners. Sundry times mean different times. Right? Right? Okay. We read that now. Hebrews 11:3. The ages, the different times. Correct? And in what? Diverse what? Different ways. Spoke unto who? Unto who? In what? Actually, that word is in the prophets. He spoke unto the fathers in the prophets. Now, look at Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, through it, the elders obtained a good report. So each dispensation had a peculiar revelation of God's word. A peculiar revelation of God's word. Each dispensation had a peculiar revelation of God's word. Different to Cain and Abel, different to Noah, different to Enoch. Now look at verse 8. By faith, this happened to be the longest age. Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he will afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Notice that the obedience and the fear. We've seen obedience, we've seen the offering, we've seen the walking with God. They came from faith. By faith he obeyed. By faith he offered. By faith, he moved with fear. By faith, he pleased God. Let me see if you understand that. That is why he told you, it is impossible to please God without faith. By faith. Now, go on. He sojourned to the land of promise, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of wisdom of the same promise. He looked for a city. So by faith, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sun which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, notice this. Oftentimes, this is also severally misinterpreted. That they had faith, but they did not receive the promise. That is bad reading. It says, by faith, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, did they receive the promise? Did they receive the promises? He told you that having not received the promises, but they saw them. He's telling you the work of faith is to see it afar off, to be persuaded of it, and to embrace them, and to speak that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We usually mistake this for 39 and 40. No. We're going to see something now. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. He's telling you again the work of faith is to see from afar off. And then, the work of faith gets you convinced and persuaded of those things and to now embrace them. Now, look at the next verse. For they which say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, a homeland. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Did Abraham get to Canaan? Did Abraham get to Canaan? What he was saying here was this. When he left where he was going, he desired a better. That better is Canaan. It's not heaven. When he said heavenly, the heavenly there was not referring to heaven. The heavenly there refers to the heavenly promise of Canaan. The heavenly nature of the promise he was given. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Are you following this? Good. Look at the next verse. You see it now. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, the word there is proven. It means to approve of something. Offered up Isaac, for he had received the promise, for that he had received the promises. He that received the promises offered up his only. So as he received the promise, are you seeing it now? Offered up his only. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now God, follow me now, now asked a man to leave where he was staying to a place he had never seen. He moved by faith. Are you following me? That place he had never seen was given to him by God, was spoken to him by God. He called it heavenly. Notice it. He said he desired a better, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. What did God prepare for them? Which city? The promised land. That was where God prepared for them. So they moved. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only. So this proved that the prior one was faith. He was now tried and tested. And now he offered up his only, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. All of them moved according to what God said. The worlds were framed by the word that God spoke. Accounted that God was able to raise up even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Do you understand that? He said, you're going to depart. He said that by faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because that was not the city God prepared for them. Are you following what I'm saying? And gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith again, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the promise, of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As seeing what? So he had a revelation. As seeing him. But you know, you won't see all this in Genesis. Who is invisible? Follow this. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the sea. Now, did any of them act on his own? Did any of them act on his own? Okay, so you can see. Nobody acted on their own. Every world age was framed by the word that God said. Follow now. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? Now follow this, please. For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Are you with me? Stop the mouth of lions, quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goats, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all this, having obtained a good report through faith, received not what? What? Somebody added it. Have you? Receive not the promise. Now, all the ages we have read now, did they have a good report? That means they had testimonies of faith. But it says they did not receive the promise. That's different from what we read in verse 13. The promise, God having provided some better thing for us. Better than the results that they had. Are you with me? Better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That they without us should not be made perfect. Now, is Hebrews 11 clear to you? Huh? Is it clear? Is it clear? Hebrews 11 is clear now. Uh-huh. Now, they without us should not be made perfect. So, read into the next chapter. Like, you know, we have said, the Bible was already in chapter and verses. I don't think I'll write a letter to you and I'll say chapter 1 verse 1. Good morning. Chapter 1 verse 2. But it was chapterized for reference purposes. So, let's take it out now, because now we're reading. They without us should not be made perfect. They without us should not be made perfect. Anytime you see us and we, it is for what? It is for what? It's not us like Tope and Bola and Jide and that's us. It's referring to a people. A people specific. To an identification of a people. Better still. They without us should not be made perfect. Verse 1 chapter 12. Are we there? Wherefore? 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 That is because of this. Since we also, that's the word seen, are compassed with about so great a cloud of what? A cloud of what? Now, I've seen all sort of interpretation of this verse. When I was younger as a preacher some many, many years ago, I interpreted this as a cloud of witnesses referred to the demons and spirits that are watching you and all that. Remember, a friend of mine was just laughing at me. He had a greater revelation. His own revelation was that cloud of witnesses refers to, you know, the host of heaven. They are urging us on. You know, Paul is saying, go on, boy. Take the land. That's okay. You understand? But really, let's look at the word. Let the word interpret the word. When it said we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, obviously, it was referring to all the stories he just told. That we have seen faith work through the different times. Is that clear? We are compassed with so great. You know, he didn't exhaust it. He said, time will fail me. Hallelujah. Of the exploits of faith throughout the ages. If I begin to mention them, he said, this book will not contain them. Now it says, we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us, who are the us now? A specific people, right? Right? Not the people he just mentioned. Let us, who are reading about them, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset. Take the word us away. It's not there. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? The sin that doth so easily beset. It's pointing you out to why Cain was Cain. The sin that doth so easily beset. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Are you there? Are you in verse 2? What are we asked to do? Looking unto Jesus. You'll have wondered, where is Jesus? Jesus found. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. In almost 2,000 years after Cain and Abel, looking unto Jesus. Who is Jesus? The author and the finisher of what? Notice the word our faith is in italics, so it's out. We oftentimes say our faith, that is our own. We that are not in that age. He's saying to you, from Abel to the last man, that faith was uttered by Jesus. He said, faith was uttered by who? It was uttered. What does it mean to utter something? The word author and finisher is like saying A to Z. You know when you say something is A to Z, you don't have letter. You know I've lost. There's nothing I'm going to say. If I say letter G, it's still part of A to Z. That means every alphabet is either is between A and Z or Z. I mean, today they teach our children different, what we call G. It's G. G. My son was saying, no, that is G. I said, I'm not serious. If I don't know G, will you be born? Now, A to Z of faith. Now, beyond that, it says faith was authored by Jesus. Be intelligent. Be intelligent now. How do you mean Jesus? He says to us that through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word that God said. So faith came by what God said. Every time God spoke, faith came to those people. Because faith is uttered by the word. It is not generated by anybody. Is someone following me here? Are you there? Faith is offered by the word. And is that telling you that faith is now perfected? The author and the perfecter of faith. So throughout the ages, faith was tried and tested, and faith is now perfected. Are you with me? Faith is now perfect. The author, he didn't say, and finisher of your faith. He said, and finisher of faith. The author and the finisher of faith. So he said, looking unto Jesus. So there is no faith besides or outside the person of Jesus. Faith is authored by Jesus. That was why, in that seeming definition, he said faith is the substance. There's a materiality to faith. It is not an invincible action. Faith has materiality to it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. There is an evidence to faith. I am not just acting like a fool. There is an evidence to that action. When you see Noah's ark, there is an evidence to that action. Let me just stir your pure minds in this. Really, God did not ask Noah to build an ark. No, he didn't. That was why Jesus is called the perfecter of faith. So that act was not perfect in what he did. That was why, see, it was not a perfect action. Peter tells us that that hack now is in the baptism of the death of Jesus. That's the essence, the substance of it. But in the action he took, he acted to all in all the life that he had. Are you with me? Are you with me? Well, Pastor, we'll read it. I'll read it that God told him to build a gopher. You see, when God spoke through those ages, he only talked about one person. The scriptures testified of only one person, Jesus Christ. But people received it to the degree by which they could comprehend the light of God. But everything makes sense in the person of Jesus. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke unto our fathers in the prophet, as in these last days, in the perfecting of faith, spoken in the person of Jesus. So faith is offered. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is spoken by the mouth of God. The mouth of God is the prophet. Every word spoken by the prophet. That scripture, sincerely, today, does not have the same relevance it has as it was then. You understand? Okay. Leave it there. So, faith is offered by Jesus. Faith is offered and then perfected by Jesus. For instance, when Abel offered that sacrifice, we have seen that the substance is in the person of Jesus. And only God can offer a sacrifice. Only God can prepare an ark. Men just received the word that God spoke. And they acted in all the light that they had. We're coming somewhere. Are you with me? Are you there? Good. So faith is offered. That is why I said looking unto Jesus. Remember the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 2. He said that what is man that matters, son of man that visited him. He said, you have made him little like angels. Set him over the works of your hands. He said, but we do not see yet all things under man. He said, but we see Jesus. And he used the same scripture for Jesus, saying that that scripture was spoken concerning Jesus. So the preparing of an ark was for Jesus to do. The offering of that spotless lamb in Genesis 4 was for Jesus. Is somebody following me here? The promised land was for Jesus. Are you with me? That's the word that God spoke. So faith is authored by the word of God. The word of God is not talking about the written statement here. It's referring to the person of Jesus that God spoke through the different dispensations. Let me show you something. I want to talk about something later, but I will maybe address it much later. Faith is offered and perfected in Jesus. Offered and perfected in Jesus. And you see how? Through the different dispensations, God spoke in diverse ways. Diverse ways in Hebrews 1:1. Some versions have rendered it very well. Very, very well. Let me show you Hebrews 1:1. Amplified. In many separate revelations, correct. Separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. There's only one truth, but people saw it in different shades. Are you with me? So only one truth was spoken throughout the ages. See, that was why when Jesus came, you know, the Jews told us something wrong. And said to them, said, look, you search the scriptures for anything you have in your life, but the scriptures testify actually of me. It's of me. He didn't say some scriptures. He said the body, the graphe, the body of what is written is all about me. You know how we know that? You know who told us to know that way? He said, through faith we understand. Hallelujah. So you cannot readily see it in the written page. He said, through faith we understand. So that understanding again is birthed by faith. Are you with me? That understanding, what I just said now, is birthed by faith. Hebrews 4. The Bible tells you that unto us, verse 2, was the gospel preached as well as unto them, referring to the Jews that left Egypt for, you know, Canaan. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now, pause and see this. What do you mean the gospel? Which gospel was preached unto them? Which gospel? Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to his disciples and they saw that he had risen from the dead. And he now says, go into all the world and preach this gospel to all nations. How can you say unto all the gospel when Jesus had not even come to die? Which gospel did they preach? Unto us was as well as unto them. Now, if you read further down, please do. It says, yet the word preached. The word preached. So the word that God released through all the ages is called what? The gospel. Great. Did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of what? Unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day. That is, look, after he has said that, some did not enter in into that rest that God gave, the promised land. So, after a while, they actually now entered into the promised land. Are you following what I'm saying? Some did not enter in because they did not mix the word with faith. Now, years after they entered, they had entered into the promised land. Years after Abraham had entered into the promised land. Years after Jacob. Years after Joseph's bones were taken to the promised land. Years after. God now spoke again in David. That's why I say in David. That's in Psalms. Years later, thousands of years after, today, after so a long time, as it is said, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So he says, for if Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Are you following me? That's what he was saying by, they received the promises, yet they not received the promise. He said, look, they've entered into the land that God promised them. He said, but we, really, if the essence and the substance of what was promised was a land of Canaan, then the Spirit of God will not again say and promise another rest, as it were. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us be diligent, therefore, to enter into that rest. That rest. That's the second one now. That rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word. Now. Hold on. Look at me now. Please. Stop writing. How was that rest communicated to them? By the gospel. What is that gospel? The word that God spoke. Right? So God was speaking to them. And then they were moved by faith to do what God has said. He now says to us, the word of God, verse 12, is alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, present with the son of soul and spirit, joints of marrow, is the center of thought and interest of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. And all things are naked and open into the eyes of him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a great high priest. So he said that the substance of the message is the person of Jesus. Are you following me? That now, it is not by the words that God has spoken. It is now by the person of the word. The man, Christ Jesus. He is the perfecter of faith. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. Are you following this now? Is that clear to you? So he says, there remaineth a rest. That is, we have moved from partial revelation to the essence and substance of all truth, Jesus Christ. Faith is perfected in him. Righteousness is perfected in him. Everything received is perfected in Jesus. Faith is perfected in the person of Jesus. Look at this. God spoke. When God spoke to them, he spoke in the prophets. But in the last days, he spoke as a person. That person is the person of Jesus. But the link between what God said through the ages and the person of Jesus is that everything God said through the ages was about Jesus. Hence, faith is perfected in Christ. Is that clear now? Is perfected in Christ. Now, I promise to the four Gospels, because we're going to do some very interesting study there. You know, faith is perfected in Christ. So, he is the author. You can't separate Abel from faith, or there's no Bible. Everything is in him. Everything is about him. He's not a character in the Bible. Hallelujah. He defines every character in the Bible. Every character in the Bible is defined by how much of the Christ life they were able to absorb. Every character. The meekness of Moses was not self-generated. It was a function of faith. Are you there? Are you with me? the might and the exploits of Samson was not self-generated. It was from the person of Jesus. The dominion of Adam, like I taught you, was of the person and the substance of Christ Jesus. Nothing is taken outside him. Everything outside of Jesus is dead. It's inoperative. It is darkness. He is the light of the world. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was the person of God. The same was in the beginning with God. Use the word logos there. The thought, the idea, the concept, the fact, the summation of everything. He said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light was the illumination people had. And this light shined in darkness. And darkness could not... At that point, he's not talking about salvation. No. He's talking about the different ages. He now says, from John 1 to John 5, was referring to Genesis to Malachi. You understand that? Clear? Is that clear? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He says, the light now shines in darkness, a world covered by darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. He now told you, Matthew, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. How many of you know he came before Jesus? You know that? Do you also know that the announcement of the birth of Jesus preceded that of John? So when he said there was a man sent from God whose name was John, it was before the angel came to Mary. He came that he may bear witness of that light, which is what everybody did. All the prophets, that's what they were doing. He was not the light. So it's not Moses. Amen. It's not David. Said the light that lights every man that comes into this world. Are you with me? He now said to you, he now came to the world. Even though the world was made by him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own. And his own, Israel now, received it not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God. Even to those that believe on his name. So all the light we saw from Genesis to Malachi is the light of the person of Jesus. It came from Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Outside of the revelation of Christ, the Bible is a mere book. It's a mere storybook. Hallelujah. It is the explanation of all things. So faith is perfected. And you know that. You see it very well. Faith, just like light, it came gradually. It came gradually. It shineth in darkness. So it kept shining. It kept shining. It shines in darkness. John now came as the greatest of all the prophets. He was the greatest of all the prophets. And Jesus said about him, he said, he was a burning and a shining light. You dwelt in his light for a season. That's John. So, faith is offered by Jesus. Now, I want you to listen very well. Very, very well. So, faith is not self-generated. It doesn't come from man. Is that clear now? Let me see how you can understand that now. It doesn't come from man. Faith is generated. Now, I'm not saying that there's no faith that man has. You understand? But the faith of the Word, the faith of the Bible, is generated from God. You know, if we say that one, it's a bit careless. It is generated from the person of Jesus. It comes from the person of Jesus. Faith comes from the person of Jesus. Faith comes from the revelation of Christ. There is no faith. See, this is where a lot of faith teachings are imbalanced. Romans 10 says, faith coming by hearing and hearing. We'll set that in line now. It comes, we see that it is the author and the finisher of faith. It is the author and the finisher of faith. Hallelujah. Good. It is the author and the finisher of faith. See, that makes our teaching of faith rest on the person of Jesus. Is that clear? It doesn't go outside him. It just rests on him straight. It just rests on him. He is the author and the finisher of faith. Glory to God. Beautiful. Now, let's now do some further looking at. We said he is the author and he is the finisher of faith. Beautiful. So I said this here. I said, you can't teach righteousness, faith, love, and hope outside Christ Jesus, because you can't have it outside him. You can't teach it outside him because you cannot have it outside him. So you can't have faith outside of Jesus, outside the person of Jesus. That shows you that the statement of Mark 11:22 has to be if you have the faith of God. I don't know if you can see it now. Is it clear to you now? Aha. It has to be that. If you have the faith of God. I won't want to say the God kind of faith. You know, because I just don't want to use that phrase. The God kind of faith. The faith of God, you know, is much more straightforward, you know, in the word. Get back to Mark 11. So faith is perfected in the epistles, correct? Are we right to say that? Now let me show you some other things. We say you cannot teach faith or have faith outside the person of Christ. Look at John 1:45. Noah built an ark. You understand? And it was a good report. Abel offered a sacrifice. It was a good report. And just look through the ages, the Passover, passing of the sea, and all that. And yet, the substance really is the person of Jesus. You know? And yet, God acknowledged and honored the light each man had. Oftentimes, when we grow in the light of the word, we seem to look down on people that have lesser light. Yes, the Bible is a book of increasing light. I don't know whether you understand that. Okay, I'll talk about it later. It's not, I don't want to talk about it later, but it just, you know, people just grew in light. And yet, we call them fathers of the faith. John 1. I believe that this will help you. When you say Christian, for instance, use anointing oil. There should be an attitude of faith to what you are going to do than to just be very particular. Because the truth of the matter is that God, in diverse manners. Do you know today now? Do you know the level of the word of God you are on today? The couple of years to come. You look at that and say, wow, I moved beyond this. But oftentimes, when somebody is on that level, you use the level you are in now to place judgment on that person. You understand what I'm saying here? Really? Is it maturity? John 1. 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law from Genesis and the prophets did write, Jesus the son of Joseph. Wonderful. Luke 24. Jesus, see, of whom they wrote. You know, you won't find Jesus written anywhere there. You find his name there. But through faith we understand. Praise God. Faith is spiritual. Praise God. It is. Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. Yet all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. So the understanding of the scriptures, it comes from the person of Jesus. Until there's a contact and encounter with him, you don't know anything in the Bible. Revelation emanates from Jesus. It's not a function of, you know, it's not a function of doing a lot of studying and all that. He says that you may rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. The person of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So he is the person of that faith. Mark 11. Have the faith of God. Will we be correct to say that? Huh? Would we be correct to say that? Have the faith of God. You know what you can carelessly do? You know, you can say, okay, Lord, maybe like some people do say, Lord, give me faith. Or Lord, I want faith. You know, and so on and so forth. The man can do that. When you say, have the faith of God, Jesus never told us how to get the faith of God. He didn't say it. Like Brother Hagin said one day, he said, a man went to a service and they told him the beautiful things about faith, but they never told him how the faith will come. Imagine if we read Hebrews 11, and then, assuming it was a chapter, Hebrews 11 verse 1, and you heard faith is not for the other things unseen, through faith we understand that the word of faith, and you read that, and you now stop in verse 40, do you know you can be very, very confused? You know? You can be very, very confused. Because you just wonder, so these things were done by faith. If you're going to stay on the other side of the divide, you just say, Lord, give me faith. Which is not terrible. I would say, whatever things you ask, he will give it to you. But the truth of the matter is that, let me say in chapter 12, you now, you are at rest. He says, Jesus, look unto Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. So, the writer of Hebrews actually told us where faith comes from. Jesus did not. At the first instance, he did not. He just said, if you have the faith of God. Let me just give you some scholastic thinking. Faith is not believing. Right? Believing is a work of faith. This is a bit scholastic. Believing is active. Faith is a noun. Faith is fixed. Believing is an active thing. Faith is a noun. Believing is a verb. If you believe, Jesus said you will say. If you have faith, you will say. And it shall be done unto you. And shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. So faith is a noun. Believing is a verb. Oftentimes people mix it together. We did not receive believing from Jesus. You understand? We received faith. We're going to see that. Faith to believe. Faith is a noun. Believing is a verb. So he said, if you have the faith of God. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, verse 13, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Notice that. The same spirit of faith. Where? In the scriptures. Glory to God. So, all faith emanates from the same source. Is that very clear? Is that clear? But we have seen that it came in degrees, right? Until it was perfected by who? Good. It came in degrees in, you know, different revelation. It was based on different revelations they had throughout the ages. So, it says that, but we have the same spirit of faith. Don't forget that. Now, Mark 11. I'm still coming back to where I just stopped now, so that I missed out something. Mark 11. Are you there? Oh, you are still there. Are you in Mark 11? You don't seem to be there. Now, if I were to Mark 11:22, as a Bible student, you know, I've stepped into the epistles now to understand the statement of Jesus. I've not seen the working of faith. I'm only trying to define faith. And I've said to myself, okay, I've seen it in Hebrews 12 that Jesus is the author of faith. I've seen it in Hebrews 11:3 that the words were framed by the word that God said. Okay, so I will say this then. If I were to take Mark 11:22 in the light of revelation today, I will say, I'll put it like this, if you have the faith of Christ. Let me see if you understand. Is that clear? If you have the faith of Christ. Because I'm not part of the 12 who did not have eternal life in their spirit. Now I have the Holy Spirit. He has taken me through the ages. I have a deeper understanding of the scriptures. So I now know that really, the faith of God is the faith of Christ Jesus. If you have the faith of Christ Jesus, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Shall not doubt in your heart. Whatever things you say shall come to pass. Now, let me take you through the epistles to understand what I've just said now. Galatians, Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there? Romans chapter 3. Okay. Are you learning something? You sure? Romans 3. What advantage, verse 1, then of the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that said unto them were committed the oracles of God, the words of God. For if some did not believe, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Notice he calls it the faith of God. Right? Huh? The faith of God. Now, I know some versions, because of the word used, pistis. Pistis, depending on the rendering, could also be rendered faithfulness. I'm going to have the faithfulness of God. And oftentimes, translators do it to pass across their thoughts. But in doing it, Paul said that, let the gospel be preached. The fact of the word is still seen. The faith of God, the faithfulness of God, is he the same? We'll see now. Faithfulness means to stick to what you are doing, right? And to stick to what you have said. Am I correct? That faithfulness. To stick to what you are doing, or to stick to what you have said. I'll give you a small instance. You must have heard this before. You know, in when you come to ABC of faith, I won't call it ABC, I'll call it, before a child learns ABC, what does he learn first? First thing you learn before ABC. If I remember, we'll say as simple as ABC. My friend used to say in those days that, you know how long it took you to learn ABC? You know, they beat you before you say A, B, C. So what do you learn before ABC? Someone said tongues. What do you learn before ABC? How to make sounds. Right? Sounds. Right? Say, da, ma, ma. Right? Mama. Just like my daughter is making noise now. That's not ABC. So really, when we taught some things that we are before the ABCs of faith, we'll say it like this. That there is faith for salvation. There is faith for the fruit of the Spirit. We now say there is faith, the gift of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, that one is actually faithfulness. We say the gift of the Spirit, that one is special faith. Where the Holy Spirit, you know, will now impart some kind of faith into you. So the faith for salvation is, you know, the one you get to believe God. Then there's now faith to live by. That one is a different faith. Where, you know, and it's okay. It's at that level, people will get blessed. Every level, people will get blessed. People entered Noah's Ark and they were saved. People will get blessed. But to now tarry in Noah's Ark for 2,000 years will be dangerous. Because the flood will come and go. Something else will happen. You need to leave the Ark and get to Canaan. Is that okay? Revelation knowledge throughout the scriptures was progressive. Now, we started with, you know, say, four kinds of faith and all that. But then we took another series on the great faith, little faith, weak faith, strong faith, several steps to growing in the God kind of faith and all that. Those are the sounds. Now, we're now looking at the ABC, the basics of faith. Are you following what I'm saying? The basics of faith. Now, when we say faithfulness and faith, what do we mean? Could they be different? No. Just hold it there. I won't disagree with your translation. I won't. Because I could easily just knock it off by Greek words. I won't do that. I will use that statement, the faithfulness of God, to further enlighten us on the faith of God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Beautiful. Now, let's get another scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. You will see some very, very, very subtle things drop into our translations. King James. But when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, lives after the manner of Gentiles, and not as to the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing, please pay attention, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by what? But by what? The faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know some verses against the people who faith in Christ. Who has faith in Christ? We are justified. Again, you see that careless thing. They make the origin of the faith who? You. Whenever, see, anything you can trace to you is works. This is the beauty of the Christian life. Anything you can trace to you is works. Anything you can trace to you is works. And the Bible says, by works shall no flesh be justified. A man outside of the faith of God is dead. Anything you can trace to you. So when you say the faith in Jesus Christ, where did it come from? That faith in Christ. Faith is a noun, not a verb. That's why I say we that have believed. So he told you that Believing is the work of what? Work of what? Of what? Of faith. Believing is a work of faith. I saw a material, you know, two nights ago, and the material said, the balance of grace and faith. And I laughed. There is no balance of grace and faith. Amen. It's lack of knowing this. He said, the faith of Jesus. That faith, he says, for even we who have believed in Jesus Christ, we just have the faith of Christ. Now, Galatians 3. Assuming we escape that. Galatians 3. Are you there? Now, it says that, look at this. Oh, ye Galatians, foolish Galatians, and all that. You know the story. The rebuke in verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you in the spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or by what? The hearing of faith. Notice that. The hearing of faith. Now, it is the hearing of believing in Christ. you see, we have caught the translators like this. You get my point? The hearing of faith. Which faith? The faith in Christ. The hearing of faith in Christ. Okay. Let's move on. Even as Abraham believed God, was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith in Christ, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. So then, they which are of faith in Christ are blessed with faithful Abraham. The word there is actually believing Abraham, one who believed. But you see, King James says faithful. For as many as of the works of the law under the cross, for it is written, curses everyone that continues not in things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live by faith. Where did the just come from? Where did the just come from? Eh? Faith. Oh, the just came from faith. Okay? Good. The law is not of faith. But the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Have you seen that? The blessing of Abraham will come on the Gentiles through who? Through who? Beautiful. It gives an iPhone. It says that, the same thing, we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Is it the same thing? Is the blessing of Abraham the promise of the Spirit? Huh? So, is the blessing of Abraham the promise of the Spirit? So he says, he calls Jesus Christ faith again. Through faith. Go on. Now, run down. Verse 22. But the scriptures have considered all other sin, that the promise of faith, the promise by faith of who? The promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Can you see separate believing? It says, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. After faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So, it lets you see faith in the person of Jesus. Faith coming from the person of Jesus. Better still, the faith of Jesus. Galatians 2:20. Are you there? Galatians 2:20. Let's do that together. Want to go? Everybody, once again. Nevertheless, I live. Who lives in you? Who lives in you? Go on. I live by what? I live by what? I live by what? The faith of the Son. Notice he said two things. He said, nevertheless, I live. Now, when he said, I live, he said, Christ lives in me. So, the Christian life is not lived. The Christian life is life in Christ. It's not a set of behavioral patterns. It is life in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I live in the flesh. Now, that is talking about what? Conduct. I live by what? The faith of the... We say, I live by believing in Jesus. Wouldn't that be a little bit unintelligent? I live by the faith of the Son of God. I've already said Christ lives in me. The I that lives is the Christ that lives in me. So it is therefore consequent upon that, that whatever conduct I have is the conduct of the faith of the Son of God. Let me see how you understand that. Does that answer the faith in Galatians? I live by the faith of the Son of God. He now says, he says something. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So, he's telling you that that faith of the Son of God is a gift. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Hence, in chapter 5, verse 6, it says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, for faith which worketh by love. Now, I've seen people say that faith worketh by love. If we don't walk in love, the faith cannot work. Well, there is a semblance of truth in that. But when he said faith worketh by love, he just told you, who loved me and gave himself for me. This faith is saying it is energized. It was breathed out by the love of God. Simple. The energy of the faith of God is based on the love that God has for us. It's not talking about you loving somebody. It's talking about the love of God. So faith is the product of the love of God. Colossians 2. Faith is in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? The unbeliever, we're going to see that, receives faith from Christ Jesus. The believer has found faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, verse 1. In whom also are you circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through what? Through what? Colossians 2:11. Everybody, want to go? Now, do something. Be smart. This is just good thinking. Verse 11 again. Want to go? With our hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision. Hold on there. It says, your circumcision is the circumcision of who? Good. Verse 12. You also reason with him. Through what? The faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. If he has said, the faith of the operation of God, which had raised him, you will have said, it's referring to the faith that raised Jesus. No. He says the faith of the operation of God, who. So the who is talking about God. The faith is the faith of the operation of God. So he's saying that we are who we are today by the faith of the operation of God. Let me read the Weymouth translation. Weymouth says, through faith produced within you by God. Wesley translation says, through faith which is produced within you by the power of God. Millennium Bible, the faith wrought by the operation of God. How do we have power of God in that operation of God? Power of God. So he's saying that faith is wrought in you by the power of God. It does not come from you. It is wrought in you by the power of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Ephesians 3. So we have the faith of God. We have the faith of God. So we can say we have the faith of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have the faith of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Good. Ephesians 3. Because if you don't settle this, you will not know what was up. Because oftentimes, we can be very particular about how faith works. And if you don't know what faith is, and why faith is, then how faith works will just be experiential for you, and not something that is continual in your life. Look at this. Ephesians 3, are you there? To the intent, verse 10, that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 11. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So verses again say, by faith in him. But Ephesians 4 and 5 tells us we have one Lord and we have one faith. What differs is the working of faith. For instance, as we study on, we will see Romans 12:3, the working of faith, when it says, unto every one of us is dealt the measure of faith. And I've seen, you know, a lot of our teachers, you know, wrong concept but right, you know, spirit, say, well, everybody starts with the measure of faith and all that. But then you have to grow it, and you know, everybody has one substance, measure of the spirit, then the thing begins to overflow and all that. It runs contrary to the gospel. Now, we're going to see, because we're going to look at the work of faith. We'll see the work of faith in ministry. Because he said it has been dealt unto us, every one of us, the measure of faith. Now, he now says that measure of faith now begins to work in different ways. He says it works in prophecy. He says it works in teaching. He says, so we see that those are the workings of faith. The faith of Christ at work. Hallelujah. He's talking about ministry. But ministry is the working of faith. I was telling you earlier, is ministry freely given to us of God? Huh? Is it freely given to us of God? Is it our inheritance in Christ? Huh? It is. You didn't bring it into Christ Jesus. You were an apostle before you were born again. When you now got born again, now became a born again apostle. No. It's also found in Christ Jesus. Now, so faith is a gift of God to us in Christ Jesus. That's the best way to put it. Faith is a gift of God to us found in Christ Jesus. So we don't have a faith problem. Hallelujah. I said we don't have a faith problem. We don't have a power problem. Because things are found complete in Christ Jesus. Let me now ask a question. You will hear people, this is for Bible teachers. They'll say, does God have faith? Hallelujah. And you'll say, well, if God will have faith, in who? Right? Right? Because you can't give what you don't have. Are you with me? Are you with me here? I will show you something here now. You don't get it. You shouldn't have come. You have just done boxing day. It was just good to just sit somewhere eating a bar. You know? Faith will have to be in something. Right? Correct? Good. That's why I'm going to bring in that faithfulness that we just read in Romans 3. Does God have faith? Well, we have seen that God gives faith. So, where did he get it from? Because it actually says, you know, it's another thing if you say the faith that God likes. That means, okay, somebody has it, he likes it. But it actually says that the faith came from God. Faith came from God. Does God have faith? He actually does. Hallelujah. Do you know that? Isn't it difficult to say God has love? You know? Ah, God. But because of the enmity the faith movement has had over the years, you know, the faith movement really has enemies. You know, oftentimes you see that kind of thing. Never in your carnality just say, Kimmy, that is all nonsense. God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, faith. No, is God. Besides him, there is no one. After him, there is no other. Now, hold on. Let me show you. Praise the Lord. Let me show you one scripture. 2 Timothy 2. You know, for the way you are looking, we should go more than this, but 2 Timothy 2. I love this. This is lovely. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. You know, this is not talking about a futuristic statement. Because we actually died with him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says we have been risen by the operation of the faith of God. Is that very clear? So it's just saying this is a faithful saying. That is, look, if you this is a saying that stands the test of time. Are you following what I'm saying here? Paul is not talking about something that's going to happen. He's just giving credence to a saying. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, are you following me here? It now gets to a place. If we deny him, he will also deny us. That denial is talking about unpersuadableness towards God. Like, look, if we deny him, we deny the gospel of Jesus, you don't receive the gospel of Jesus, Jesus will have nothing to stand shorty for you in judgment. Are you getting that? He's not saying, just like Peter denied Jesus. You get my point. But that did not say that Jesus now denied him. Are you getting my point? You know, there's a way you can take some scriptures without looking at the body of the word of the scriptures and they just say, if you deny him, he will deny you. No, that's not what he's saying. Peter denied Jesus as a believer. I hope you know that. Judas betrayed Jesus as a believer. Holy Moses. Do you understand that?
Jesus was not a Christian. Are you?
You're not a Christian.
No, never.
Oh, they are sorry for you. He was a believer. He denied Jesus as a believer. Eh? We'll see that in the second session. He was a believer. So don't say, no, you lacking nothing. I'm having faith in you. He says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, notice that. He abides what? He abides what? Now, you know we believe already. So he's talking generally here. If a man does not believe, he says, God abides what? He abides what? He abides what? He cannot what? Hallelujah. He cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. That's a powerful statement. He cannot deny himself. You know, you can say something and deny it. Me? Call you. I didn't call you. Say, this is your... See you, 11:45, maybe one of my children stepped on my phone. I did not call you. Say, this is call time. 10 minutes. I'm saying maybe one of my children... You know, you step on you for a long time and you not picked it. Yeah, denying it. Like one brother like that, one a boy like that, we had a deal with him. So we signed paper, everything. We now went to him, sir. He said, no, I didn't promise you guys 1 hour. I didn't promise you 1 hour at all. I said, this is what you wrote. He said, okay, I renege. He didn't even say, I renege. Am I God? You understand? So he's saying that God will not deny himself. Hallelujah. Do you understand what that means? You know, you can say, God is God. Whatever he does, I'm yeah. Do you know people say that? That he can choose not to do it, you know? He can choose to do it. Scripture is actually saying, he will not deny himself. Hallelujah. But go somewhere else. He will not deny himself. He stands shorty of everything he says. Now let me show you. Does God have faith? If he gives faith, then he sure has faith. Praise the Lord. The example of love we have today, who walked in love for us to walk in love? Eh? God now. Right? Is it not true? Did God walk in love? He did. By giving Jesus over the ages, his mercies and compassion, his love at work. We'll see the faith of God at work now. God also really walked by faith. He did. Hold on. He said he will not deny himself. Hebrews 6. It's a wonderful story. Look at this. God came to a man called Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I will bless you. Right? I will multiply you. Now, in human terms, if somebody, for instance, want to reach an agreement, you make a promise to me, and I don't just take it on face value. We said, okay, let's go to swear an affidavit. That's where we do courts. We say, I will stay with you till death do us part and all that. If for instance, you just say that in church, and you are saying, I love you with the love of my heart and all that. That's no marriage until you go to where somebody can hold both of you. Do you understand? So, two of you will go to that person. And that person will ensure that whatever you say, he makes sure it comes to pass. Am I right? Am I right? That's where you take your contracts to sign it and seal it before the law court, so that in case you want to try and change what you are saying, someone said, no, I stand at the back of what you have said so that you will not fail at it. Am I right? Is that correct to say? Good. Now, God now said to Abraham, I will bless you. Now, to go further than just speaking, see it, Hebrews 6. God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. What did he do? He swore by himself. That's how the faith of God works. God actually has faith in what he says. He swore by himself. He confirmed it by an oath. He is the back of everything he says. God is faithful. Are you following what I'm saying? God is what? God is what? Faithful. You know, you can say, my boss, he says he'll come by 8 o'clock every day. He came over to work yesterday. I'm not sure he'll come today. You know? Because you don't think he has the capacity to keep fulfilling what he has said. So God is actually faithful. That is, he will not deny what he has said. He will affirm and make good every word that he has said. And that is what faith does. That is the Christ faith. To do what you have said. To affirm what you have said. To testify, witness, and make good everything you have said. That is why he said, with the faith of God, you will have what you say. Faith is not believing. Believing is the work of faith. So God actually has faith in himself, which is what we call the faithfulness of God. He stands at the back of everything he says, seeing that he could swear by no greater. Now, why didn't he just talk as God? He now stood at the back of what he said. Do you know that that meant that really, look at me, the act of Hebrews 6:13 really demanded that you call someone else into the picture. Are we right? Now, on the normal terms, they will have called someone else. It's not because God didn't want to call somebody. It's because, see, there was no greater person to call. So he now swore by himself. He could not call anybody because there was nobody to call. But what he did was an act that demanded somebody to back up what you have said. Somebody to guarantee what you have said. So God speaks and now guarantees what he has said. So the first person who spoke is to speak in faith, right? The person who is to guarantee, right, is the one, the person who has spoken in faith, has faith in. Let me see if you understand that. You get that. So God has faith in himself. That is what the faith of God does. The faith of God is from God. The faith of God is of God. So God ensured a consistency in his dealings with humanity. He did not change it. So faith actually, as we're going to see, works faithfulness in us. We are consistent people. We are consistent people. Hence Paul will say, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Faithfulness is a work of faith. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Breeding consistency, just like faith does, in what we say, what we do, how we act, and conduct our lives. I have the faith of Christ. Hallelujah. So, in a nutshell, what I've said so far is this. The faith of God is the faith of Jesus Christ. And that faith is a gift from God. It's not self-generated. That is why you are never asked to believe in the epistles. Why? Because Christ now dwells in your heart. Hallelujah. By faith. Glory to God. Christ dwells in your heart now by faith. Just understand this basic thing.
I've seen faith in different lights over the years, and as we keep growing, we'll see faith from a closer dimension. That is, faith is actually to us an inheritance we have found in Christ. What happens to you? The man who is unsaved. Hallelujah. The man who is unsaved. So faith actually is birthed in the new creation. It's birthed in us. It's not something we aspire unto. It's not something we aspire to. It's not something we receive afterwards. Hallelujah. Faith is generated from man. Faith is found in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I call this the ABCs of faith. Very simple, very fundamental. Faith is found in Christ Jesus. In what faithfulness? We are consistent. We are constant. Just like the faith of God. We do things the same way. Just like God does. Hallelujah. So when we talk about, you know, people growing in faith, you understand what it is. No believer has a weak faith. Because God did not make an incomplete new creature. Hallelujah. We are complete in Him. You know, oftentimes when we use that word, we are complete in Him. That complete, like I said, you know, the faith of God is a substance. Is not intangible. I said God has not made an incomplete new creature. So that completeness is found in Christ. What we do is to walk in that fullness. God is here to add to Jesus. Amen. Everything is done. Praise God. In Christ Jesus. So believing is a work of faith. You don't believe unto faith. You believe faith. You don't believe unto faith. You believe by faith. You believe through faith. A faith authored by Jesus. And now today, in Christ for us. Praise God. So we have come to a place of rest. Glory to God. A place of rest. Where faith is beyond a lifestyle. Faith is to us a nature. We are believers. Hallelujah. I am a believer. 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 See, that is the work of faith. I am a believer. You don't urge a believer to believe. It's the work of faith in Christ Jesus. Give a believer the word of God. Believing, like we say, it's an unconscious attitude of the man who is born of God. It's not something he will strive to do. It's not something he's trying to do. Hallelujah. It's a work of faith. Praise the Lord.